Good morning. It's a joy to address you today in the name of Jesus Christ. Today we're talking about fear. Are you afraid of anything? Social scientists say that the average human has 14 fears. They have labeled some 700 fears in all. Ann Landers, who was a noted newspaper columnist from years ago, said that she received 10,000 letters a day. And most of them were about fear. How do you meet fear? Well, I was surprised to be reading on Yahoo Internet on Wednesday. And then among all the other articles that they have, there was one from Country Living that gave 25 Bible verses how to meet fear. The Bible has a lot to say about fear. 170 times in the Bible it says, "Fear not." And Jesus even used those words. Here are some verses from the Bible. Maybe you've heard them. Hebrews chapter 13, verses 5 and 6. God has said, "Never will I leave you, never will I forsake you." So we can say with confidence, "The Lord is my helper. I will not be afraid. What can mere mortals do to me?" And then in Matthew chapter 10, verse 31, Jesus said, "So don't be afraid. You're worth more than many sparrows." And then in Luke 12, 32, Jesus said, "Do not be afraid, little flock, for your Father has been pleased to give you the kingdom." The Apostle Paul wrote that the Spirit of God does not make us timid, but gives us power, love, and self-discipline. 2 Timothy 1, verse 7. Isaiah spoke of comfort in chapter 43 when he said, "Do not fear, for I have redeemed you. I have summoned you by name. You are mine." And Isaiah 41 says, "So do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. For I am the Lord God who takes hold of your right hand and says to you, 'Do not fear, I will help you.'" Then what about Psalm 27, verse 3? "Though an army besiege me, my heart will not fear. Though war break out against me, even then I will be confident." And then there's Psalm 46. "God is our refuge and strength, an ever-present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth give way and the mountains fall into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam and the mountains quake with their surging." How about Psalm 27, verse 1? "The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid?" We all know Psalm 23. "Even though I walk through the darkest valley, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me." Psalm 34, verse 4 says, "I sought the Lord, and he answered me. He delivered me from all my fears." Yes, faith and fear cannot coexist in the same person. When we are afraid, we are not trusting. When we are trusting, we are not afraid. Fear knocked at the door. Faith answered. No one was there. In our story today, Jesus is sleeping. It's the only time in the Bible that speaks of Jesus sleeping, although we know that he did sleep, of course, just like we do. But he had been teaching all day, and he was exhausted. You know, people work is very exhausting work, and Jesus was tired. This shows the humanity of Jesus. Jesus is that unique God-man who came from the heavenly world and became flesh and dwelt among us. You remember the Bible says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made, and without him nothing was made that has been made. And in him was life, And that life was the light of all mankind. And then down in John chapter 1, reading further, it says, "The Word became a human and lived among us. We saw His glory, the glory that belongs to the only Son of the Father, and He was full of grace and truth. No one has ever seen God, but God, the only Son, is very close to the Father, and He has shown us what God is like." And then you remember Colossians chapter 1. "The Son is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For in Him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities. All things have been created through Him and for Him. He is before all things, and in Him all things hold together." Well, these verses speak of the deity of Jesus. God the Father created the world through God the Son. And God the Son became a human being, and He ate, He slept, drank, walked, sweated, had feelings of anger and joy. He bled. He even died. He was every much as much human as you are, except for sin. So Jesus needed to sleep and to rest. So He sleeps on a cushion, the Bible says, at the rear of the boat. While professional fishermen like Peter and Andrew and James and John handled the navigation of this small boat across the Sea of Galilee. The Sea of Galilee is really a small lake. We have lakes in Texas bigger than the Sea of Galilee. The Sea of Galilee is only 7 miles wide east to west and 13 miles north to south. And Jesus had been teaching while sitting in the boat. Then at the end of the day, He gave the command, "Let's go over to the other side." Evidently, He is in Capernaum, wants to cross to the eastern shore. And so it must have been a calm evening when they got into the boat. No wind, quiet waters. And the boat was propelled by sails, and there were oars in case there was no wind. Did you know that in 1986, there was a drought in Israel, and the Sea of Galilee sank to one of its lowest levels, and buried in the mud on the shore, an ancient boat was uncovered. It was 26 feet long and would hold about 15 passengers, and it was dated back to the first century. That boat was carefully extracted from the mud and preserved, and is now on display in a museum near where it was found. It's even called the Jesus Boat. Well, a furious squall came up. Now, the Sea of Galilee is especially prone to these ferocious winds and surging waters. The sea is 686 feet below sea level. It's surrounded by hills with precipitous cliffs on the eastern shore. And the wind blew in from the north, from Mount Hermon, 9,000 feet tall, that has snow caps all year long. And that cool air from the north would mix with the warm air rising off the Sea of Galilee and produce a storm. You know, a tornado is when hot air meets cold air, and it creates a destructive whirlwind that in 1 minute can level an entire town and destroy hundreds of homes. And the hills around the Sea of Galilee serve as a natural funnel for this air to rush down upon the lake and create the storm. Of course, these professional fishermen were accustomed to the sea. That's where they made their living. They'd seen these storms many times. But this is one perfect storm. It's a furious squall. In fact, Matthew chapter 8 in the parallel story calls it a seismos, which is the word we get for earthquake. You might say this was a sea quake. And the sea raged so heavily that the huge waves began to swamp the boat, and the boat was driven by the wind and bobbing up and down, just like a cork floating on the water. And the water was filling the boat faster than it could be bailed out. And these professional fishermen and the others, they all feared for their life. You know, ships made out of steel have been known to break in two by ferocious storms in the Atlantic and the Pacific. And of course, there's also the feeling of seasickness, and there's nothing to hold on to because everything's coming loose. But while all of this is happening, Jesus is sleeping. Can you believe that? Have you ever slept through a storm? I know there have been some times in my life that I'll go to bed tired and wake up the next morning, and Judy says, "Did you hear the storm last night? It was thundering, lightning, the wind was blowing, the windows were rattling, the rain was beating on the roof." I say, "What storm? I didn't hear a thing." Well, we can understand that Jesus is tired. He's sleeping. He's sleeping through a storm. The Bible says in Psalm 4, verse 8, "In peace I will lie down and sleep, for you alone, Lord, make me dwell in safety." So that's the way it is with Jesus at this time. And the disciples feared for their life, and they came to Jesus and they said, "Jesus, don't you care that we drown?" Now they're reprimanding Jesus. "Don't you care about us? If so, why are you sleeping during this life-threatening storm? We're about to lose our life. And you're asleep. Wake up, Jesus, wake up." But Jesus got up. He rebuked the storm. That's the same word that's used to rebuke demons and cast out evil spirits. He rebukes the wind like he rebuked demonic forces. Jesus has power over nature. After all, he created nature. Everything serves at his command. He's Lord of the universe. So even inanimate forces like wind will immediately stop at his word. He said to the water, "Quiet, be still." The King James Version says he said, "Peace, be still." But you know, that does not convey the dynamic force of the Greek words. This is a sharp command of power. It's very strong, even akin to when we say, "Shut up." In other words, "be still" literally means be muzzled. It's like you might muzzle a dog. The Bible says immediately the wind died down. It was completely calm. That's unusual, isn't it? Because when the wind dies down, still the water rages back and forth in choppy seas for a while. But when Jesus spoke, the wind immediately stopped. And the water became mirror calm. Then Jesus said to the disciples, "Why are you so afraid? Do you still have no faith?" Now, this word, "no faith," actually in the Greek text means an ineffective faith. It means a defective faith. A deficient faith. They had faith, but it was defective, ineffective, and deficient. Luke's gospel says, "Where is your faith about this story?" Jesus is rebuking the disciples for their defective faith. He said, "Why are you afraid?" The word means being a coward, full of fear, and without confidence. So the opposite of faith is fear. Now, Jesus had already shown them he had great power. He multiplied loaves and fishes. He healed the sick. He cast out demons. He raised the dead. And yet they're afraid. They're afraid of the wind and the waves. And Jesus is sitting there, just sleeping there, just a few feet from them. You know, a Jesus that can raise the dead and cure all sicknesses without one failure or denial can show strong power over demonic forces of hell, he can surely survive a boat ride on the Sea of Galilee. And Jesus wonders why his disciples would not believe. You see, he's in the boat with them. And if they perish, he perishes. Do you really think that any storm could destroy Jesus Christ, the Son of God? So these disciples have a defective faith. It wasn't perfect. They'd only been with him now for a year or so in his ministry. And over the next year and a half, 2 years, their faith would grow and develop. So they were not perfect. But aren't you glad Jesus didn't disown them or throw them out of the boat, so to speak? You know, they grew in their faith. They grew in their faith so much that at the end of the gospel story, he can say, "Go into all the world and preach the gospel, and I will be with you always." And they did so. And throughout the book of Acts, they faced all kinds of fears, persecution, opposition, ridicule, beatings, and even death. And they were not afraid. You know, I'm thankful to God that he's patient with us and allows our faith to grow. That he allows our faith to be strengthened and developed with time and experience. So you don't have to have a perfect faith to please God, no. The Bible says faith as small as a grain of mustard seed can move a mountain. It doesn't have to be a magnificent faith. Just let that faith trust God and let it grow and develop. So Jesus calmed the mighty storm. And the disciples said, "Who is this that even the wind and the waves obey him?" You see, Jesus never had a failure. I may fail Jesus, but he never fails me. And I can't control the weather, and neither could they, but Jesus can. And Jesus, who made the earth and the universe, the wind, the waves, the earth and the sea, can and does control the weather. Who is this? And this question is answered in the gospel. You know, the Jews of the first century, we're told that they were afraid of three things. They were afraid of demonic forces, they were afraid of nature, and they were afraid of death. And Jesus conquered demonic forces, Jesus controls nature, and Jesus conquered death. You know, we have spiritual forces that fight against us, but Jesus is Lord. And we're not in control of nature, but Jesus is Lord. And we too are dying day by day, and we face death. But Jesus shows us that he is the resurrection and the life. He's the Lord of everything. Well, what do you learn from this story? What are you going to take home with you today? Three things, I hope. Number one, the Lord is with us no matter what. A great spiritual lesson is right here. Jesus is in the boat with the disciples. And when he's in the boat with us, we have absolutely nothing to be afraid of. Now, if you're a follower of Jesus, he's with you. He said, "I will never, ever leave you or forsake you." Romans chapter 8, in the closing paragraph, speaks that there is nothing who or what that can separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble or hardship or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? As it is written, "For your sake we face death all day long. We are considered as sheep to be slaughtered. Knowing all these things, we're more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I'm convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord." So Jesus is with us. Now God allowed the storm. In fact, Jesus even commanded them to get in the boat and go to the other side. But Jesus is Lord of nature. And he never promised that there'd be no storms. He never promised that we would always have calm seas and smooth sailing. Jesus knows that we live this side of the Garden of Eden. And we live on a blighted planet, and he never promised us a perfect world here, now that sin has entered the world. And so we face the same calamities and diseases and viruses and malignancies and accidents and cold and germs and heat and epidemics and tornadoes and termites that everyone else in the world faces. The difference is, Jesus said, I will be with you. And the God who saved us at the cross will not forsake us in the storm. Money is temporary, houses are temporary, cars are temporary, but God is eternal. Do you really think that the God who made the universe out of nothing cannot be trusted to take care of us now? The Bible says, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. The Lord never promised exemption from trouble, but He did promise protection through trouble. So believers suffer like everyone else. The Bible is filled with the story of God's people suffering at the hands of evil and from natural calamities and other things. The Apostle Paul in 2 Corinthians talks about affliction in Asia, being utterly burdened beyond strength, despairing of life. We felt received the sentence of death. He was in four shipwrecks in his life, troubles on every hand. And yet, in that Philippian prison, he and Silas sang praises to God and prayed at midnight. So God is our refuge and strength and ever-present help in trouble. Remember, the Lord is with us. The second thing you learn from this story is the storm is not going to last forever. No, the storm comes, the storm goes, but God is the same. The Bible tells us that we should trust in the Lord now because the persecution, the opposition, the pain, the problems will pass even in this life. You know, suicide is the highest, second highest killer among youth 18 to 22. And in a counseling class I was taking one time, it was advised this, that when you're dealing with someone that's threatening suicide, say to them, do you have to do this now? And most people say, well, not really, not, I don't have to do it today. And aren't you glad when you had thoughts of suicide or thoughts of anger or murder or trouble that you didn't do something wrong and rashly and you lived through it? The storm has passed. And praise God, the storm does pass. This too will pass. But we know that in the heavenly world it will be passed forever and we will be with the Lord. So remember, the storm will not last forever. But the third thing to remember is that faith is the answer to fear. Do not be faithless, but believing, showing the opposite there. We're afraid of nothing when we see God as He is, and all of our fears grow out of our lack of confidence in God. So grow your faith. And your fears will starve to death. And the way you grow your faith is through worship, through reading the Bible, through the fellowship with other saints as you share the stories of perseverance and courage and love and have sweet fellowship with those of like mind. And get involved and serve God. Get your mind off yourself and find a greater goal and a greater purpose in life than just dwelling on your own pity and agony. Yes, faith is the answer to fear. Have you ever been on a zip line? I did one time. I climbed up a 30-foot ladder, and there was a thin wire going 150 yards downhill. And they buckled me in this harness, and buckled me solidly to the wire. And then they said, jump off.
I looked at that. I looked down 30 feet below. I looked down the wire. I felt the harness. I checked all the belts and buckles and made sure everything was exactly right. I checked it three times. You see, I'm a door checker personality. I wanted to know, would it hold? Would it hold? And they kept saying, yes, it will hold. Yes, it will hold. Yes, it will hold. Look at all the people that have gone before you. It's never broken. It will hold. So finally, I said, okay, okay. Here goes. And I jumped off and I zipped down that zip line. Oh, I got to the end, hilariously joyful. That's life, isn't it? We have to trust. Just like I had to trust the harness, trust the buckles, trust the wire. I have to trust God. And God says, trust in me and I will take care of you. You know, God is with us. And I'm sure those disciples had great stories to tell later about what Jesus did for them in that storm. Their faith grew through the storm. I remember reading about Jesse Stewart, an American folk author years ago, who wrote The Thread That Runs So True. And when he was 54 years old, he had a heart attack, and he thought that was the end of his life. He was in the hospital for a long time. He was under recovery for a long time. And finally, he wrote a book called The Year of My Rebirth. It was when he had the heart attack. Because through that, he learned to trust and to love and to value relationships and to see the world with more appreciation and to count beauty for each day that God gave him. It was the year of his rebirth. And so learn some lessons from this story. Learn that the Lord is always with us. Learn that the storm will not last forever. And learn that faith conquers fear. Let's pray. God, our Heavenly Father, thank you so much for Jesus, our Lord, the life that he lived and the death that he died for us sinners. We praise you for his resurrection, that he's the resurrection and the life for us who believe in him. May we always remember his words, do not be afraid. I am the first and the last. I am the living one. I was dead and now I am alive forever and ever. Lord, help us to be faithful to you in all things and to grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord. Yours is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen.